Anyway, so Gus has asked me to carry on with the theme. So yeah, we've been, as a church family, we've been looking at reaching out into our community with the gospel. So I'm just carrying on with that. So this morning's message is called Knowing and Going. So knowing part one, this is about knowing what we believe as followers of Jesus. So I'd just like us to start by watching a video. Oh, hang on, Han. Sorry, there's a video. And this is done by the Bible Project. It's called Gospel of the Kingdom. It's only about 4 minutes. It explains what we believe as followers of Jesus, sort of weaving the old and the new together. It's really short, but it's good. Thanks.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah. The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls. And far out on the hills, we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running and he's shouting, good news! And Isaiah says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news.
Beautiful feet?
Yes, the feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
And so when Christians say, do you believe the gospel? They mean, do you believe the news?
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal his servant. And he even calls Jesus his Lord, acknowledging that Jesus is his authority. Jesus praises this man for recognizing what no one else yet had, that not only was Jesus announcing God's kingdom, he was the king.
And so the word gets out that this Jewish man from Galilee is talking and acting like he's the king of Israel. He's appointing 12 disciples, which are an image of Israel's 12 tribes. He's healing people, forgiving people their sins.
And all of this so threatened Israel's leaders that they finally decide to have him killed. And Jesus let them.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to do if you're trying to become king.
That's right, but for Jesus, this is what had to happen. Jesus saw the sin and the devastation of his people Israel as just one small part of the entire human condition. How all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. So how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
And the good news now is that Jesus has defeated death and that he reigns as king, that he's dealt with our sin and corruption himself, and that he's conquered it with his life and with his love.
And then Jesus sends his followers to go out and keep announcing this good news of the upside-down kingdom.
And to invite everyone to give their allegiance to him, the king who defeated death with his love.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Han. Yeah, and I enjoyed that. I thought that was really lovely how it weaved the old and the new together. So Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 10 sums up that fantastic news that we have to tell our family, our friends and our workmates. I'm just going to read it from the Message Bible, and it says this: Praise God our Father, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all our misdeeds. And we're not just barely free either, we're abundantly free. He thought of everything. He prepared for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. So that's great. So yeah, speaking of that fantastic news, as Gus was just sharing earlier, last week hundreds of young people across North Wales were visited in schools by the Higher Tour, who are part of the Message Trust, and that Higher Tour really creatively communicates the gospel to young people through music and personal stories. And they've been doing that for 25 years. This is the first time they've come to North Wales, and hopefully not the last. So on Tuesday, you probably know this, they were here at our local high school and in Umlock on Thursday. And then on Friday night, there was the gig in Clandidno in Venue Cymru. Now, the atmosphere at that gig was amazing. And the sensible ones amongst us who went to the gig used earplugs. Well done, Sharon. The rest of us are hoping it wasn't just our time we gave up last night, not our hearing as well. So it's pretty loud. You could feel it in your chest. So the hundreds of young people who went to that gig were definitely entertained, like the music was professional, four bands, really well done. May not have been everyone's taste, but they were excellent. But they didn't just get entertained. They also heard how much God loves them and that God has an incredible plan for their lives. And as Gus has already said, a really large number of them responded to the gospel message that they presented, taking their first step on what we believe is a journey for them following Jesus. So, yeah, as we said, we don't know where that seed goes, but they're on that journey. Now, because as a church we're looking at the moment at what we believe so that we can go and tell people in our community, I thought I'd briefly share with you the gospel according to Higher Tour. Because they expressed it so clearly. But to get the full impact, you guys are probably going to have to close your eyes, pretend I'm in my 20s and you're all a bunch of teenagers, okay? If you don't, you won't get the full benefit. So here we go. I've just got five headings just to put it all in context about what I'm saying. Creation. There is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, loving creator God who designed and created the universe. You are his creation. You are not a random accident. You're the result of intentional design. You're supposed to be here, and you have a God-given purpose. Curse. God's creation was perfect, but we wanted more. We, humanity, have rejected God and his perfect plan for us. The Bible calls this sin. God is the author of life. When we reject God, we reject life. We're left with the curse of death and the chaos that that brings. Selfish living, greed, extreme materialism, wars, self-harm, suicide, abuse, and more. The world is broken, and so are we. But it doesn't end there. There is good news coming. Cross. God doesn't want death for us because he loves us. To save us, God set in motion the greatest rescue plan ever. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into our world as a human being who never rejected God and who lived a perfect human life. Jesus was killed on a cross, acting as our substitute, dying the death we deserved for our rejection of God. But that's not the end of the story. Christ. Jesus didn't stay on the cross. He died and was buried. 3 days later, he came back to life, showing that even death itself couldn't defeat him and that the curse of death is broken. In that moment, it became possible for us, humanity, to receive forgiveness for our rebellion against God and also to share in a new and eternal life that Jesus has made possible. New life is possible only through trust in Jesus Christ and by asking him to forgive us for our sin, rejecting God. And finally, church. The first thing Jesus told his followers to do was to go and tell others about their new life with him, make disciples. The church isn't a building. It's a community of people who've chosen to follow Jesus, who together grow in their faith through reading the Bible, praying, and worshiping God. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus will return to make everything new. The adventure between right now and when he does come back is to grow in our faith and to tell others about it. And we do this together as the church. So what do you think? That was pretty clear, isn't it? And that's what the young people heard. You know, we heard 1,200 young people. A fair few of them were talking. But that's what they heard. And I just thought that was fantastic. So that brings me to the next point in my message, knowing part two. This is us knowing who we are as followers of Jesus. Knowing what we believe, so that fantastic news that Jesus tells us to tell others is only half the story. I believe that knowing who we are as followers of Jesus is equally important. So guys, who are we? That's not a rhetorical question. What do you think? Who are we? Do you want to shout a couple of things out? Chosen, excellent. Anything else? Loved in Jesus, yeah. Anything else? Sorry for the pop quiz, but you know, got to be prepared. Sons and daughters of God, yeah.
Accepted,
yeah. Forgiven, yeah. Made in his image, yeah. Yeah, he shows us mercy. Priests, yeah, great. The righteousness of God. Yeah, okay, that's quite a long list now. How are you feeling? Yeah, you're all absolutely right. We are loved, we are chosen, we are God's children. And because we're his children, like
Anita.
Like Anita just said, that means we're royalty. We're co-heirs with Christ. So we are all those things and we are more. Now, I reckon that when we know whose we are, then we know who we are. And that has a huge impact on how we then think about ourselves and then how we behave or how we act. And because we're specifically looking this morning at the good news of the gospel, I believe the following three things are really vital to know about ourselves. So just really quickly, here's three. All those others are absolutely vital as well, but I think if we are called to tell good news, these things, we've got to have these, not just in our head, but deep down. Number one, we're God's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. And it says, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The Message Bible calls us Christ's representatives. The Passion Translation puts it this way, We carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. I like that. Number two, we're the light of the world. Matthew 5 verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." The Passion Translation reads, "Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others." And finally, number three, we are God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" The Message Bible reads, "You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God and God himself is present in you?" The Passion Translation puts it this way, "The Spirit of God makes his permanent home inside you." Amazing truth right there. And guess what happens when the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you? John 7 verses 38 and 39, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit. The Message Bible reads, "Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me." The Amplified Bible says, "From their innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water." So because we are God's temple, rivers of living water are going to flow out of us. But wait, there's more. It gets even better. So what effect do you think having rivers of living water in us is going to have? Ezekiel 47 verse 9, if you want to turn there, it pretty much gives us the answer. Where the river flows, everything will live. So let's read just a few more verses in Ezekiel 47, starting from verse 1. "The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple." So many of you will be familiar with what happens next in the following verses. So it describes how as they moved further from the temple, the water level rose, was ankle deep, then it was knee deep, then up to their waist, and then finally it says, "It was a river I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. And when the river empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and it makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." That's amazing. So as followers of Jesus, individually and corporately, we are the temple of God. And therefore, we have rivers of living water flowing from out of us, just as it said in John chapter 7. So that brings me to my final point, going, which is simply obeying what Jesus has asked us to do. And I don't know if you've been listening over the last few weeks, but Gus has been speaking to us about how God is a sending God, and that just as God sent his only son, he sends us as well. And many of you, again, you guys will be familiar with Mark 16 and Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, make disciples of all nations." Now, to illustrate this going, Hannah, would you like to put a photo up there, please? I want to show you a photo I took recently on a walk in Triada Bay. I like to go there when I've got the time. This is a sunrise. The photo doesn't really give the scene justice, but hopefully it'll give you an idea. So this is just to illustrate going. Now, for those of you who can't see the screen, I want to paint a picture of what that was like for me that morning. So as the sun rose, its light and its warmth were over whatever was around. That dark, cold scene was suddenly transformed by the presence of that sun. So the sea, the rocks, the grass, they were glistening. And you can't see it on my photo, but as I turned around, I looked at all the houses and the buildings, and they were just lit up. It was as if someone had flipped a light switch on. The colours of that scene went from being dull to vibrant. And I was just really blessed, and I very profoundly just said, wow, which is often, yeah, I think a good response when God shows us his glory, just wow. And as I watched that all unfold, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying something to me. And I felt like he said, just in the same way that that had happened, that's what we do as followers of Jesus. That light shines and warmth radiates out of us as followers of Jesus. As God's dearly loved children, I felt he was saying that we are designed and we're called to do just that, to be the light of the world, his ambassadors, his temples, holding his very presence from which that living water flows, bringing dead things to life. So just let that sink in for a moment. I love what the Message Bible says about being the light of the world. This is a really good translation. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. So again, wow, that's good, isn't it, from the Word of God. So you and I are light bearers. We're atmosphere shifters. We're game changers. Wherever we are, wherever we go, you and I carry the presence of the God of the universe inside us. Get your head around that one. His glory, his power, his life. That is amazing. And that's not just theory. That's Gus, that's Janet, that's Billy, that's Cherie, that's Ash, that's every single one of us. Carry the God of the universe, his presence in us. So out of our personal encounters with Jesus, as we read the Bible, as we speak to him, as we let him speak to us and we listen, as we take the time to be with him privately each day, we bring light, we bring warmth, we bring life to those we rub shoulders with. And I just think that's something we need to remind ourselves of regularly. And you know what? We do that all simply as we go about our day, as we are walking along the street, as we are shopping in the supermarket, as you go to the gym, as you walk your dog, what else? As you are working in your job, as you are hanging out with your friends or at home with your family, even on holiday. We do not have to wait to go on a missions trip. You do not have to wait to have a platform and preach to a crowd of people. Those things are amazing, and yes, they have an incredible impact. But if you wait for that moment in your life to start talking about the fantastic news about Jesus, what a waste. Really, what a waste. Just remember that Triada Bay story. That's you. That's me, that's every day of our lives, because our bodies are God's permanent home. Speaker and author Christine Kane says this, our message is good news. Our message brings great joy, and our message is for all people. Let's determine to be and to bring good news to the world around us. And she adds that we ought to actually look like people with good news to tell, and that when we tell it, we should bring it with great joy, and not exclude anyone, but include all people. I like Elam theologian Keith Warrington has this to say. He reckons we're all missionaries because we're called to share the good news of Jesus. I don't know if you thought of yourself as a missionary. You are. And Jesus himself was the ideal missionary, and this is what he writes. I really like it. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years. The majority of his life was spent establishing himself and his community. Keith goes on to say, the ideal missionary isn't parachuted into a location and then rushed out after a few weeks. The missionaries who make a difference in their communities will take time to live with the people. So they'll begin to look like them, to feel like them, to be one of them. As a result of that incarnation into the world, salvation will occur. It means that we are to function within our secular societies, offering alternatives of behaviour where appropriate, but within, rather than metaphorically broadcasting our message from loudspeakers outside our community. Let's remember how Jesus did it and try to model his motives and the manner of his life as much as possible to be as good a missionary as he was. He lived among the people, not in a bubble. He didn't shout the message from a distance. He could whisper it from within. So as I bring this message about knowing and going to a close, I just want to end by saying this. God wants us to know what we believe and to know who we are, then to obediently go and tell those around us the good news about Jesus. And how we do that? It's as simple as waking up every day, encountering Jesus for yourself, for myself, then simply letting that light, his warmth, his river of living water, the Holy Spirit, flow out of us as we go about our day. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for the fantastic news we have about Jesus, that good news. And Lord, I just pray that this morning would just be a reminder to all of us that it is fantastic news, that we do have something to share, and that we are called. You designed us, you created us to be your lights. We are the light of the world, that we're atmosphere shifters, we're game changers, we're light bringers, we're your ambassadors, we are your temples, that you live in us. All that power is in each one of us. And I just pray that we wouldn't complicate things, we wouldn't wait for those big opportunities before we bother to tell people about you. God, we would realize that as we wake up in the morning and spend time with you, we then go and bring your light, your warmth, your life wherever we are. God, just help us not to despise those small things because they're actually massive. That's how we're going to reach this world. So Lord, just encourage us all this morning. Every single one of us is hugely significant. Every single one of us is a missionary. We may not be Reinhard Bonnke, we might not even be the higher tour, but we can have just as much impact. The ripple effect of us bringing light and the life of the Holy Spirit to one person ripples out for eternity through generations. Thank you for that, God. Just encourage us, Holy Spirit, I pray. Especially tomorrow morning when we wake up and we think, it's just another Monday. Wherever we go, we are making a difference. We are changing the atmosphere. We are turning on a light. We are bringing living water that turns dead things to life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we just pray for opportunities this week. Lord, we thank you that you create divine appointments. And they're exciting. And I pray that for each one of us, that you'll position us and appoint us with people that are open and ready to hear, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.